Thanks, Danny. That's a good one.
Actually, I want more.
Of course you do.
I like the direct flight to Boja City, but that was funny.
That's pretty good.
That was funny. That's
pretty good. All right, we go to...
Wasn't that funny?
That was good. I've been to Bossier City. I can see where their head's at with that. Razorback baseball back on the diamond tonight. I think I said Northwestern State. They play Northwestern State, I think, next week. SFA today. SFA, Stephen F. Austin. 6:35 today. It'll be Alex Phillips, a right-hander for Arkansas going. Arkansas leads the all-time series. 4-0, never lost to the Lumberjacks. One time they played him in Edinburgh, Texas for some reason. No idea why.
Tournament?
Maybe. I don't even know where that is. I've never even heard of Edinburgh, Texas.
How about this? Just when you said that, it dawned on me. You have college football teams and college basketball teams playing in NFL and NBA arenas, staying, mm-hmm. you know, in the locker rooms, get to kind of really feel like something at that time. Nothing with baseball, huh? College baseball,
don't
Major League Baseball.
Don't see much of that, do you? Yeah, we need to do more
That'd be cool.
I agree. You think the Hogs wouldn't love to play in Fenway or Wrigley or... the ballpark at Arlington?
St. Louis?
They did play at Dickey Stevens, which was awesome. Coming up at the bottom of this hour after we talk to Jim Harris, Nick Bardwaj, who is the CEO of Beyond Games.
Wait. I cannot wait.
He is the man who spent $11,700 on eBay. He was the high bidder.
What is his business?
To coach the ASU Red Wolves.
Do we know?
Yeah, this Beyond Games is it's online, like iPad, iPhone games, interactive games, I guess. I don't know all the details. He can fill us in. Anyway, Jim Harris... joining us now from SportingLifeArkansas.com. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Jim?
Well, Edinburgh, Texas, somewhere near University of Texas Pan American, down near McAllen.
Okay.
It's way down there.
North Mexico?
Yeah, Baja, Oklahoma. Deep South Baja, Oklahoma, as Stan Jenkins might write. It's way on down there. It's not New Edinburgh either. It's just Edinburgh.
Okay. Do we know why they played there?
It's old Edinburgh.
Don't know.
I don't know why they played there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they may have had an early March tournament down there that it was good weather to get away from snowy Fayetteville. Of course, now we're having to kind of do that in April.
No kidding. Jim, is that anywhere close to Luckenbach, Texas, with Waylon and Willie and the boys?
I think it's further down than Luckenbach. I think Luckenbach's in the hill country, kind of near where Shiner Bach and all that stuff. Shiner.
Big fan of their work. It's 2 six-packs of Shiner.
If I remember right, I think that's closer to Austin.
Okay. Well, the University of Arkansas may not win the SEC this year, but they are on their way to winning the Southland Conference, playing SFA this week. They've got Northwestern State next week. What did you take away from the LSU game? Certainly a heartbreaking loss on Saturday, where most of us were focused on the Arkansas Derby, but a walk-off loss. And then they did come back in convincing fashion, and Blake Baxendale with a big Sunday performance to avoid the sweep.
You know, they played tough in game two. Well, they played tough the whole weekend. No one's beating Aaron Nola right now, pitcher for LSU. Every time I say Nola, you don't know LSU's team, you start thinking Nola, like New Orleans.
Right.
I mean, strange he's got that name.
Yeah,
but
we
anyway,
talked about that the other day.
No
it's
one's
perfect.
Beating that guy. No one's really scoring on that guy. And Arkansas played them to a 5-3 game. They got one run off of Nola. And they made some noise in the eighth inning and kind of made a little bit of a rally and lost 5-3. That's nothing to be ashamed of. The next day they battled back, tied a ball game, had a chance to win maybe, had the go-ahead run on second in the eighth inning, I think it was. Didn't score and got beat in a walk-off 5-4 Saturday. To a pretty good team that's probably going to be there at the end of the year. And then on Sunday... I like how somebody on my Twitter feed was saying, I like how we can, beat up on the third-day starters in the SEC. Well, would you have it any other way?
Yeah, really.
I mean, would you rather not be able to hit the third-day starters either?
There's certainly some drop-off, but that's no slouch either. I mean, they're still pitching pretty good guys.
You win 10-3, and Trey Killian may be the best 1-6 record pitcher in the country.
Yeah,
I you know, he's battling every night out on Friday, but Arkansas is a little lacking in the bottom half of the order offensively. They're just not getting enough offense there, and you know, it's like we say with all these sports, and everybody wants it to turn around real fast. But the only way you do it is on the recruiting trail. And I think Arkansas hasn't recruited the hitters they need to, and they know it in the last couple of years. And the last recruiting class that Tom Butler,
Todd Butler.
Mm-hmm. Todd Butler. Not Tom Butler. He's a friend of mine down at Junior Deputy. Todd Butler.
Well, he's a good recruiter, too, but I mean, that's
yeah,
neither here nor
there. He's a great recruiter and great coach. Todd Butler, now at Wichita State, the last class that he brought in got hit hard either in the draft or just wasn't really up to the level that they've been getting lately. But this class they signed here to come in next fall looks pretty promising. So, you know, they're battling again in the toughest baseball league in the country. It's tough all over, and I think it was a good series. They looked pretty good the last two series out, and there's still a lot of season left. So, I'm all positive today.
Yeah, there's no question, and, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, but it is a very much a parity situation with the league this year. There's nobody that's out of reach right now on either side, and you got a bunch of ranked teams, of course, in the SEC. So you look at the way that the league is stacked. I mean, there's lots of opportunities, and the Hogs are going to get another ranked opponent this coming up weekend against Vanderbilt.
They're always strong.
Yeah.
I mean, they always have some pretty good pitching too. But I would bet that. I mean, they're not, an offensive juggernaut, and I think it'll be a good series. I mean, I thought Arkansas had a great series, you know, get South Carolina at home. And I don't really know what to say on this thing, except, you know, you just get out there and roll it out. And, I mean, try to make the SEC tournament and have a good enough record to land a spot in the NCAAs. And the good thing is that the SEC is treated pretty well when it comes to baseball, unlike basketball. They usually sense that everybody, the conference is usually deep all the way to all 14 teams, and you usually get 8 or more teams in. So just keep battling and try to win these home series and get 2 of 3. And I mean, you're still there.
Jim Harris joining us from SportingLifeArkansas.com. Kentucky's Willie Cully Stein says he will be back next year for his junior season. Pat, I'll ask you too.
Yeah.
Surprised? Not surprised?
I don't know how many NBA-type potential guys he has that stays until their junior year, so I'm extremely surprised. And I guess we're just going to have to wait what's going to happen with Poitras. And probably the Harrison twins are gone, and Randall for sure, and Young, so you'd think 4 guys are out. But, boy, Marcus Lee, Willie Cauley-Stein, and they get some, I think,
have the Harrisons
four
announced?
Coming in.
Still got Dakari
they
Johnson. They
and Dakari Johnson, got to wait for him to see what he's going to do.
Yeah. He's going to stay. They're going to be one of the most dominant frontline teams going, and it would not surprise me to see the Harrisons stay. And if they do, that'll be your number one preseason team again this coming year, just as they were last year.
Right. I'd be very surprised if they stayed.
Because
I truly believe that they had, and a lot of times you see this with kids, once you are convinced, dead set on the fact that you are going to be one and done, I just believe that they felt like they were going to be one and done the whole, you know, I'm saying the whole season. And I don't see them backing off that. Although I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, it's going to be one heck of a squad.
No one seems to know either way. That's the thing. Even your best sources in Kentucky seem to be stooped on this one. And I think Poitras is coming back. The Cauley-Stein return, there's some question now. People are kind of wondering how bad is his injury that it might keep people from wanting to, jump on him right now, that he might need a few weeks just to rehab his ankle, or maybe more than a few weeks. I don't know, it shouldn't be a factor in the future if you're drafting on potential, and this guy's got tremendous potential as a shot blocker. And
I think he's mentally immature. That's his deal.
Yeah, probably is, but I mean, you know, and I think they missed him. I think we discussed this last week. Justin, you weren't here, but I thought that Willie Cauley-Stein's absence was the difference in the one game Kentucky wasn't able to win in the tournament. Mm-hmm. I thought that's the guy they needed to get over the hump against UConn.
It's probably true.
Well, when you look at these guys, look at how they approach it. I think Willie Cauley-Stein is a kid still. I think he is somebody who is maybe a little cautious about entering the NBA lifestyle, where the Harrisons, I think they are mentally want that type of NBA lifestyle. So it's two different personalities and kids.
I think their dad wants it too.
Yeah. Hey, no kidding, right?
Yeah, if you're going to get not one but two NBA pieces of two NBA checks, it's a pretty good deal if you can get it.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah.
God,
you know,
six.
Related at all to the Williams sisters' dad? I mean, that guy seems to be kind of the basketball version of it.
Hey, listen, if I have two 6'6 kids that are high school seniors, freshmen in college, I'm going to be pretty involved in what they're doing as well.
There's no doubt. In fact, I'm trying to set them up with the Williams sisters to protect the next generation, because that would be impressive as well. Jim, yesterday we had an Ole Miss tour bus come through town, which was kind of a unique situation down at
home. Were they miss a turn?
No. They were here spreading love to their Rebel fans here in Central Arkansas. The Rebel road trip.
I knew that.
I know you did.
Joking, but.
Andy Kennedy asked about the SEC in the postseason. I'm going to play his comments and get your thoughts. I'm going to play him now, though. Here we go.
You know, I've said this a number of times. I think the shadow that is cast by our football brethren, people get so inundated with SEC, because they dominate the landscape of college football for such an extended period of time. As soon as they have a chance to turn the channel off the SEC, I think sometimes we catch the brunt of that. You said it, you know, this year everybody was saying, well, the league's down. We had three teams in the tournament for the second consecutive year. All three teams advanced, two in the Final Four, and Tennessee all the way to the Sweet 16, having won three games. When you think about Kentucky playing for the national championship, and you think about Tennessee playing in the first four and advancing for three rounds, and both of those teams lost numerous games in league play. Kentucky lost six games. Tennessee lost seven. I do think it speaks to the balance of the league.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because people didn't really bring that up, the fact that they lost multiple times in league play. They just talked about the fact that, well, we got three teams that have done pretty well. You know, the league must be better. But the point is, they were beaten, you know, repeatedly by in-league teams. So that's
right. Well, also, it was that, oh, no, these teams are now, you know, Kentucky's a different team now than they were the night they lost Arkansas. I would turn that around and say I thought they looked a whole lot against UConn like they did against Arkansas at home. The same thing with Tennessee. Oh, they're peaking now. No, they weren't. They weren't playing the SEC teams they've been playing earlier. I totally agree with Andy Kennedy here. I think that he just says it a whole lot better than I thought.
I would like to give a tip of the cap to Pat Bradley, who talked me into that UConn matchup, because he said Arkansas gave Kentucky fits. It's not that they're so much better. It's just that their guards got out and pressured the Harrisons and made them struggle and work and threw things a little bit out of sync. And I knew in watching UConn that their guards could do a similar thing, and that's exactly what happened, and I took it all the way to the bank. I owe you
a
salad.
Yeah, they turned them over. Yeah. Think about this. Who turned them over in the tournament? Louisville did a little bit early until Kentucky made that late run turnover, and UConn turned them over. Who in the SEC turned them over more than anybody? Arkansas.
And Florida did a pretty good job, too, but again, that guard pressure. So, not surprising.
I forgot about those guys who cost me.
Sorry, buddy.
I'm down on Florida now. Dude, they cost me.
Jim, I'm telling you what, I've been doing brackets since I was in high school. I have never, ever been part of a bracket where nobody had a single team in the final game. Nobody.
Well.
Nobody? You know what I was thinking about? I mean, maybe you guys talked about this while I was out last week.
Yeah, but it's the first time you've ever had a 7 and an 8 seed. Yeah, no one's going to look at that on Selection Sunday and say, hey, you know what? I think a 7 and an 8 are going to make it to the final.
I'm surprised, though, living in the SEC, that somebody didn't take a flyer on Kentucky, knowing how talented they were and thinking maybe they'll figure it out. But
I had them in my Final Four.
Yeah, I had a few people that had them in the Final Four. I just didn't have anybody in the Final
Four. Oh, I didn't have them win. I had Florida winning this whole thing. I just thought they were the...
Most everybody did, I know. Yeah.
I thought for the whole season. And here we go. This is another debate that we've had lately. Does the National Basketball Championship Tournament, it determines that winner. It determines the tournament winner every year. That's mm-hmm. what we really determine. But do we determine who the best team of this season was?
Almost always. This year was a little bit weird, but almost.
I know, it does, or it comes close. I mean, definitely, like, there'll be arguments in 94 that, oh, yeah, it was either Arkansas or North Carolina. Well, Arkansas won the national championship. I thought this year Florida was the best team, you know, for the season.
I think Florida's the best defensive team. They had the best resume. I don't know that they were such a great team. I thought they were vulnerable. I'm watching the way they played the first couple games of the tournament. I talked about it. You cannot shoot 42% or whatever they shot against Dayton.
Listen, you got to look at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a national championship team. Arizona is a national championship team. These teams.
UConn had like 7 losses in a major conference. I mean, and against really good competition. So, yeah,
you can't tell me that these teams are not national championship type teams.
Yeah.
You can say that UConn is a national championship team?
I think they're a national championship quality team.
But they didn't play like it over the course of the season. Although I had them pegged back in February, that's when I said on television that these guys are going to bust up a lot of brackets, and I could see them being a sleeper in the Final Four. I mean, that...
Yeah, sure, a sleeper in the Final Four, but you didn't even see that they were going to win.
Because I felt like if Florida got another shot at UConn or another shot at Wisconsin, they beat them both. They didn't beat with UConn. They didn't have to play Wisconsin. But in hindsight now, from the championship game, if they played a 7-game series, I don't think Florida would beat UConn.
If you want to rank it 7-game series, UConn is probably, in my estimation, number 5 behind Kentucky, Wisconsin, Florida, Arizona, maybe even behind Michigan State. Maybe.
Well, think
in
about
a 7-game series.
In a 7-game series against Louisville, they're already down 0-3. You see, I mean, they lost 3 games to them already. I mean, they're about to get swept by Louisville if they played a 7-game series. But the good thing was the matchup never put them against Louisville in the tournament.
Boy, that would have been one heck of a matchup with those guards, boy.
Jim, I'd love to spend some time on the Masters. We got to go, though. We've got our next guest ready to roll. We're going to talk to the man behind the money and this opportunity to coach ASU in the spring game this year. Really an interesting deal.
Well, that sounds good. I'll give you my 5-second pick. The right guy won the Masters. He's on top of this game.
So you got issues with UConn, but no problems with Bubba.
Oh, the right guy won it. He's on top of his game. He won at Riviera. The guy fits Augusta, the course is now purple. We said this last week when you weren't here either. It left-handers who can hit high fades into those greens are going to dominate.
They need to change it then.
You guys are really smart when I'm out.
Well, they need to change it. It's for lefties now.
Well, no, they need to Bubba-proof it now.
Yeah, wait till next year.
They Tiger-proofed it. Now they got a Bubba-proof it.
Wait till Tiger comes out next year playing left-handed. He's going to freak you guys out.
We'll see.
That's good.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, he's changed his swing enough, right? Might as well try left.
Why not? Why not, right?